Turning this morning to Joshua chapter 14 for our Bible reading. Joshua chapter 14. And we're going to read together from the sixth verse of this chapter. Joshua chapter 14. And reading from verse 6. Breaking into the chapter, the children of Israel have come into the land of Canaan. They've camped at Gilgal for some time. They're starting to take some of the cities as their own possession. And then we have an account that really focuses on one man and his desire for his inheritance, this man Caleb, and what Caleb asks of Joshua. So let's read from Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua blessed him, gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Amen. We'll finish at the end of the chapter, and we pray that the Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of his precious word. Verse 12 I want to come to especially this morning. Now therefore give me this mountain. That statement, a man claiming his inheritance. And what you have here is a picture of the Christian claiming his inheritance, his gospel inheritance, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now give me this mountain. And that's the theme that I want to look at for a time this morning. With our Bibles open there, let's seek the Lord together in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy presence with us today already. We are thankful, Lord, that we're here today and with thy word open now before us. We thank thee for the reading of thy truth. We pray, Lord, that the one who gave us this word, the Holy Spirit himself, would now come and open our hearts to it, and open this word to our hearts. We ask, Lord, that what Caleb asked for, we would ask for as well. What he received and enjoyed, that, Lord, we might continually enjoy too. So, our Father, we do pray for thy help. I pray that thou wilt fill me with thy Spirit. Give help in the preaching and in the hearing of thy precious word. Abide with us now, we pray. Minister to our hearts. We pray these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. The book of Joshua marks a very significant period of time in the history of the people of Israel. In many ways, this book records a new beginning. Certain old things have come to an end, and a whole new way of life begins to develop for the children of Israel. There are momentous changes mentioned in these chapters, and with those changes came tremendous challenges. For example, there was a change of leadership in the nation. The opening verses of this book refer to the fact that Moses now was dead. As the Lord's servant, he had led the people of Israel for 40 years through the wilderness. And throughout that time, Moses had been a faithful, a humble, a very gracious, very meek, and very wise-hearted man. He was a man in touch with God, a man of prayer, a man who could wrestle and prevail with God in prayer. But at the age of 120, God took him home. And following his death, Joshua became the leader of the nation. This, therefore, is a new chapter in Joshua's life, but also a new chapter in the life of the nation. Furthermore, this book marks the end of the 40 years that Israel had spent in the wilderness. There was a point in history where this nation was just 11 days away from the promised land. They were within striking distance of Canaan. But because of the unbelief of the spies and the disquiet and doubt and murmuring that spread throughout the camp at that time, those 11 days turned into 40 years. They were made to endure harrowing experiences as God determined that they would have to wait in the wilderness until he had humbled them. Those were 40 years of trial, 40 years of testing, 40 years of teaching. And it was only when God determined that they could at last enter the land that that time of wandering eventually came to an end. And God makes that very clear in Joshua chapter 1, when he said to Joshua, "Prepare and command the people, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go on to possess the land which the Lord God giveth you to possess it." The horrendous trial had eventually come to an end, and these people were at last permitted to enter the land that God had promised to them. A momentous change had come for the nation. Moreover, the book of Joshua outlines the beginning of the conquest to take the land of Canaan. The story of this book, the story of Joshua, is largely the story of conflict. Canaan was full of independent city-states at this time, each ruled by a king, and each king determined to hold on to his dependence. But the people of Israel had been commanded by the Lord to drive those nations out and to take those cities for themselves. Now that situation, that command to drive out the nations and take the cities, has given rise to some people alleging that this was nothing short of bloodthirstiness. Israel acted unjustly. They were acting without due regard for human life, and therefore they are charged in that kind of way. But it must ever be remembered that the inhabitants of Canaan were wicked people, and their expulsion from the land was not so much to make room for Israel as it was a punishment from God because of their own sin. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 4 details that with these words, "For the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee." The removal of those various people, their removal from the land, was retribution for their rebellion against the Lord. The Lord was judging them and driving them out of the land, and at the same time bringing his people in to possess the land. And following the fall of Jericho, city after city eventually yielded to the onward march of the nation, and Israel claimed the country for themselves. One other thing here, this book of Joshua records in detail the division of the land, the various borders, the various areas that were being occupied by each tribe. By this time, 2.5 tribes had taken possession of the land on the east side of Jordan, whereas the other 9.5 tribes crossed the Jordan and in time were given portions of Canaan itself. The division of the land involved Israel's inheritance. And that's a key word in this book. In fact, the word inheritance, or similar, the word inherited, or inheritance appears no less than 50 times in this book. And it really provides the key to the theme of this Old Testament narrative. What you find in the book of Joshua is that Israel as a nation had been brought out of Egypt and brought into Canaan in order that they would claim their inheritance. But this was not just a national thing. It was also a personal thing. And that brings me into Joshua chapter 14. As Joshua was beginning to distribute the land to the various tribes, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to him. And as we find here in verse 12, he claimed Mount Hebron and the surrounding areas as his own. His impassioned plea at that time is well captured in the words of verse 12, where he said, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." And I think it's very obvious what's taking place here. Caleb is an old man by now. He's 85 years of age. But he was determined, even at that age, to go on and enjoy what had been promised to him many years earlier. He had a vision. This old man had a burden to go on with God and to come into the blessing that he understood were his. And this old man, Caleb, presents us with a glorious picture of how it should be with every Christian. Let me put it this way. Let me bring this Old Testament scene into a New Testament context. Romans chapter 8 tells us that as believers, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now think of that language. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means we have an inheritance. A spiritual inheritance, a gospel inheritance that we must not ignore and we must not neglect. Rather, we must press on with God and at all costs enter in to enjoy what is ours in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sadly, there are many Christians who think little of this. And I fear that life for them, life for many perhaps, revolves around their work or their family or their hobbies or self. And therefore, there's really little interest in deeply entering into the blessings of what we have in Christ. And believer, it ought not to be so. And therefore, Caleb has much to teach us in this area of our Christian lives. And if this Old Testament passage teaches us nothing else, it surely teaches us that we have a spiritual inheritance. And we must personally and passionately claim that inheritance through Christ our Savior and enter into it and enjoy it. Because it's ours in Christ. Now there are three thoughts that develop from that, and it's these thoughts that I want to leave with you this morning. First of all, let's notice the details of our gospel inheritance. The details of our gospel inheritance. Joshua 14 provides us with certain particulars regarding the inheritance that lay before Israel as a nation and before Caleb as an individual. There's an inheritance before them, an inheritance before him. And the particulars of that inheritance underscore various aspects of the inheritance that every believer has in the gospel. For example, note here the appointment of our inheritance. The appointment of it. The inheritance that Israel was on the verge of entering into and enjoying here was theirs only because God had promised it to them. In Joshua chapter 1, we'll not turn to that chapter, but if you read that chapter sometime on your own, in Joshua chapter 1, as the nation is preparing to cross the Jordan, God repeatedly tells them that he had given them the land. And mark that language. He had given them the land. Now that kind of language emphasizes that this inheritance was theirs by divine appointment. God had chosen them as his people. And as he had chosen them as his people, he had chosen to give them this country. That promise stretched right back to the days of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Abraham had been converted. And as the Lord led him into Canaan, he told him, God told Abraham, unto thy seed will I give this land. There's a twofold promise there. There's the promise of a seed, the promise of a son, the promise of a child. And there's also the promise of a country, unto thy seed. Abraham had no children at that point in time. But the Lord is telling him, unto thy seed will I give this land. He's promising him a child, and he's promising him a country. And this was the inheritance, this country, that now comes into focus in Joshua chapter 14. Hundreds of years have passed. But the promise was still good, and therefore the inheritance that Caleb was talking about was his by divine appointment. The Lord was going to give the land to Abraham's seed. And Caleb understands that. This inheritance is mine by divine appointment, and the inheritance we have as the God's people is one which God has promised or covenanted to give to us. It's a divine gift. God has pledged that to us. When God took us as His own in eternity before the foundation of this world was ever laid, He bound Himself to bless us spiritually. The blessings, therefore, that constitute our spiritual inheritance are ours by divine appointment. He has appointed these things for us. It wasn't that the Israelites and Caleb just stumbled into this land. It wasn't that they thought this would be a good place to settle. This would be a good place to make ours. God had set this land apart for them. They were His special people. He had a special blessing for them. And likewise, He has chosen us, not for any good in us. God did not choose us because He could see something attractive about us. He chose us solely out of His sovereign grace. And having set His electing love and saving love upon us, He has appointed great blessings for us. This inheritance that belongs to every child of God, is ours by divine appointment. The appointment of the inheritance. Look at the abundance of our inheritance. Look at the words of verse 1 in our chapter here. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan. The countries. The land of Canaan. It raises the question, what was the land of Canaan really like? What kind of inheritance was this? If you turn back to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8, one of the first promises with specific details about this country is recorded for us there. Remember, Israel is in bondage at this time in Egypt. The Lord comes to speak to them. He comes to speak to Moses, and Moses has been raised up to deliver them out of that bondage. And the Lord says in verse 8 of chapter 3 of Exodus, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And there you have a promise that details this inheritance. And there are three tremendous phrases there. It's a good land. It's a large place. And it's flowing with milk and honey. And those three phrases, a large land, a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey, summarize the vastness and the abundance that was in the land of Canaan. This was a land full of fine things. I'm not going to take you back into Numbers chapter 14, but remember when Moses sent out the 12 spies and they came back after 40 days surveying the land, they came back with evidence of the fruit of that land, carrying clusters of grapes that were so large that two men had to carry them. Coming back with examples of the fruits of the country, the pomegranates of that place. And those tokens of the fruits that were in the land were just a foretaste of what lay before the nation. Here's a land, and it's bursting with fine things. A land that's full of fruit. A land whose ground was full of precious metals. A land that was watered by the rain from heaven. A land that flowed with milk and honey. And all of that points to abundance and fullness. And this was the land that God was giving to Israel as their inheritance. And is there not a parallel in the gospel for the believer? We're inclined to think of our inheritance only in terms of heaven. We think of our inheritance in terms of glory, being with Christ in the Father's house of many mansions, and we think there's our inheritance, and certainly it's part of it. But listen to Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 21 tells us that all things are yours. Whether the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Believer, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Therefore, all of these things are ours. I sat beside a man on the aeroplane coming home on Tuesday. He had been reading a newspaper with magazines and inserts and all kinds of other booklets within that paper. He didn't seem to read it very long, as most people, I suppose, do, but he folded it up again with all the magazines inside it, and he set it on the floor in front of him. Across the aisle, there was another gentleman, and he looked at these papers and magazines lying on the floor, and he motioned to the man sitting beside me, "Are you finished with those? Do you mind if I read them?" And the gentleman lifted them up, and he said, "It's all yours. It's all yours." And I've been thinking about our inheritance. And the abundance of it, the vastness of what we have in Christ. And that man said to the man across the aisle in the plane, "It's all yours." I thought, isn't that exactly what Christ says to me? It's all yours. It's all yours. We have a vast inheritance in the gospel. He gives us His Spirit. He gives us His grace. He gives us His power. He brings us into victory. He promises us wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our assurance. He is our comfort. Christ is everything to us. That's why the psalmist can say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Because as Paul puts it here, all things are yours. Christ has given to us an abundance. An abundant spiritual inheritance. What you need to live your Christian life is yours in Christ. You have the appointment of it, the abundance of it. Look at the administration of our inheritance. Though God promised the inheritance to His people, it was Joshua who was responsible under God for bringing them into it. We discover that truth in Joshua 11, verse 23. We're told there, "So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war." Now understand what that is saying. God promised the land, and Joshua gave it to the people for an inheritance. Joshua was the administrator of the inheritance. In other words, the people gained their inheritance through Joshua. God had raised this man up. In some ways, he acted as a mediator, as an administrator. And in that regard, Joshua stands here as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name signifies that truth, Joshua the Savior, the Old Testament equivalent of the New Testament Jesus. And it's only through Christ, it's only through Christ that we can enjoy the fullness of the blessings of the gospel that have been promised to us. Paul puts it that way in Hebrews 8, verse 6, and Hebrews 12, 24. And he speaks of Christ as the mediator of the new covenant. It's Christ who bestows these gracious blessings on his people. That's why Paul can say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It is through Christ, on the merit of Christ's finished work, that we are so richly blessed. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we would receive nothing. Without him, we could enjoy nothing of these spiritual blessings. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians 1:3? Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. In Christ, in union with Christ, we have these spiritual blessings. You think of Joseph in the land of Egypt when he's there as the administrator of the corn that had been gathered during the 7 years of plenty. And when his brethren come to Egypt to buy corn in the famine, it is Joseph who administers that. It's Joseph who controls that. It's Joseph who meets their needs abundantly and freely. And Christ is the administrator of our glorious gospel inheritance. Believer, it is through Christ that we entered into this. It's through Christ that we enjoy this. It's through Christ that we experience this. And we need to understand that we have a glorious gospel inheritance as a result of being saved. We have the right to an abundance of spiritual blessings. There's a fullness. There's a fullness that is ours in Christ. There are mercies, there are graces and blessings that have our name on them because of our union with the Savior. Let us never think for a moment that Christ is just a Savior who deals with our sins and that's the end of it. He is a Savior who meets our every spiritual need. And through Christ, we have an abundance of blessings that have been appointed for us by the Father. The details of our gospel inheritance. But look secondly here at the desire for our gospel inheritance. The desire for our gospel inheritance. It's clear from Joshua 14 here that Caleb longed to claim his particular inheritance in the land of Canaan. Look at verse 6, the passage we read from. The land has been opened up and Joshua and the people have come into that land. And then Caleb begins to speak and he says halfway through that verse 6, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. Now he's going back in his mind. He's talking to Joshua and he says, Joshua, you remember what the Lord said. Remember what the Lord said concerning you and me and what the Lord said unto Moses. 40 years old, he goes on to say in verse 7, was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain. Something very striking there. Something that's very important here. And yet I think it's something that's sadly lacking in many, many cases. Here's a man with a burden. A desire. A longing to enter in and to enjoy and experience what had been promised to him. He wants to know this. He wants to live in the midst of the blessing that he understood was his. And it's a rare thing today to find that. But note certain things here. Look at his request. Look at his request. There's between verse 6 and verse 12, Caleb presents his case to Joshua. He reminded him of the promise that he had been given. He speaks of the mercies of God in keeping him alive all these years. He speaks of the constant burden for the blessing of the land. And then he said in verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain." And the important thing is that this request from Caleb in regard to the inheritance flowed from a burdened heart. Look at verse 7. He reminds Joshua, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart." And he's referring there to Numbers 14, whenever they came back from spying out the land, and the people were listening to the spies, and 10 spies said, "It's a good land, and it's flowing with milk and honey, but the giants are there, and we can't take it. We're unable to take the land." And Joshua speaks up, and Caleb speaks up, and they say, "Yeah, it is a good land, and there are giants there, but our God is with us. Let us go up and possess it at once." And Caleb is saying to Joshua now, "I unburdened my heart then. I had a heart to possess the land 45 years ago. And I still have that burden. 45 years later, and it's as strong now as it was back then." And Caleb doesn't want to die until he knows the blessing of God. Age had not diminished his desire. Disappointments had not diminished his desire, because that generation wandered about for 40 years until they were lost, until they were taken in death. 40 years, this man continues with this burden. The failure of others had not diminished his desire. Nothing had diminished it. He was as passionate for this land as he ever had been. And it led him to make this request to Joshua. "Here's my burden, Joshua. Give me this mountain." Do we possess that burden? Do we possess that passion for God's blessing? And if so, believer, are we making a similar request to our heavenly Joshua? Are we coming to Christ and saying, "Christ, give me this blessing. Give me this mountain"? When's the last time we really prayed? Really prayed for God to bless us. I'm talking individually now. And enable us to enter into the fullness of the blessings of the gospel. When's the last time we prayed for the power and the infilling of the Holy Ghost? For the good of the work of God, for our families, for our children, for our wives, for our husbands, for our young people. When's the last time we prayed that God might take us on with Himself and we might enter into the blessings that God has for us? I suppose I'm really asking the question, where is our hearts in this? Where are our hearts in this? The name Caleb means all heart. He's all heart for this, without a question of a doubt. He's all heart for this. He comes to make this request of Joshua, "Give me this mountain." Believer, let us take up the very same request and pray that Christ would bring us into the fullness of the blessings that are ours in Him. Look at his request. Look at his resolve. Caleb knows that entering into his inheritance was going to be met with resistance. After all, the Canaanite was still in the land, and he was not going to give up Hebron without a fight. But that doesn't deter this man. Look there at verse 11. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." Verse 12, at the end of that verse, he says, "If so be the Lord be with us, be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Here's a man with incredible resolve. "I am strong. I am as strong today as I was 45 years ago, and I am as strong for war. And I am able under God to drive these nations out. Here's a man with incredible resolve. He's ready to fight for his inheritance. And we must be no less so. We will not enter into the blessings of God without engaging in that spiritual warfare that Paul tells Timothy of in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. But he says, Thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Brethren and sisters, we must drive out those besetting sins. We must drive out those little foxes that come in and spoil the vines. We must deal with those secret sins, those sins that at times we are able to hide from others. We're involved in a spiritual battle. Just read Ephesians chapter 6 and the details there of the Christian armor and the wiles of the devil and the fiery darts of Satan. And we are called to a spiritual conflict. And therefore, we must take up arms and engage in this holy war. Because going on with God demands spiritual warfare. We must learn to resist temptation. We must learn to fend off the wiles of the devil. We must learn to guard our hearts and press onward and upward for God. And here's a man, an old man. And he sees the mountain before him. And he remembers, Moses told me, that mountain was mine. And I'm resolved to enter it and to enjoy it. Look at his reliance as well. Caleb understood he could not do this alone. He was insufficient. He needed divine help. Verse 12, he tells us that, Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said, if the Lord will be with me. He's depending upon the Lord. He's relying upon the Lord. Here's a statement of faith. He wants the blessings that God promised to him. Because he puts it that way in verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Wasn't just that Joshua promised it to him. The Lord had promised it to him through Joshua. And now he's saying to Joshua, the Lord promised me that. And if the Lord goes with me, I will be able to drive them out and enter into that blessing for myself. If we're going to know the blessings of God, we need to humble ourselves and realize we're not sufficient for it. And we need to depend upon the Lord. We need to come to Him by faith and cry to our Heavenly Father, Lord, take me on with Yourself. Take me on in the realm of holiness. Take me on in the realm of faith. Take me on in the realm of love to Thee and love to others. Take me on in meekness and kindness and gentleness. Take me on in spiritual fruitfulness. Take me on, O God, for without Thee I can do nothing. Look at his resilience as well. Caleb's an old man. But what strikes me even as I read this passage from the pulpit is how often he uses the word now. As he talks to Joshua. Look at what he says there. Right from verse 9. Moses sware on that day, saying, the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, here he is now. He's making application of this. He reminds Joshua, this is what the Lord has said. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in now, therefore give me this mountain. 3 or 4 nows here. Because this man is passionate about this. He's an old man, but not too old to look for the blessing. He's not going to let this go. This was his desire. He had harbored it for 45 years. And there's a burning passion. A burning passion in his heart to enter in and to enjoy the blessings that God had for him. You know, very oftentimes we look at things as they are. In this nation, in the Church of Jesus Christ, sometimes in our own denomination. And we can lose heart because we have prayed and prayed and prayed. We've prayed for revival. We've prayed for the Lord to move. And we're not in revival in this nation, not in revival in the Church of Christ. And there's always the temptation to give up. We like instant results. Here's a man who for 45 years has been waiting for this. 45 years waiting for this. But he has lost none of the passion. He has lost none of the desire. He has lost none of the burden. He has lost none of the vision. And he is as burdened and as passionate and has as strong a vision 45 years later as he had at the start. And the answer to that, the reason for that, is found there in the fact in Numbers 14 we're told he had another spirit. He wholly followed the Lord. And we know from Numbers 14 that Caleb and Joshua were men of a different spirit. He's a spiritual man with a heart to know the power and the blessing of God in his life. It would have been easy for him from a human perspective throughout those 40 years in the wilderness just to have given up any thought of ever claiming that land. He had received word back there in Kadesh Barnea. They're just 11 days from Canaan at that point. But because of the unbelief and because of the murmuring, because of the sin, that 11-day period becomes 40 years. And Caleb could have thought throughout that 40-year period, it's never going to happen. I'm never going to get there. How long must I wait? How long must my family wait? 45 years later, God, in his own appointed time, brings him into this place. And Caleb has a burden for it. A desire for it. Believer, let us have the same. Let us have the same. Let us not grow weary in our waiting upon God. Let us not think that God works on our time frame. But let us remember that our times are in his hands. And he does all things well. Let's not lose the burden. Let's never lose the thought of entering in more fully and more deeply into what we have in Christ. Let that be our constant desire. Look at the delight in the Christian's inheritance here. Caleb obtained and enjoyed what had been promised to him. Look at verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb because he had followed the Lord God of Israel. He entered into it. He's an old man. He's talking about a mountain. It's not just the mountain he has in focus. It's the whole area, including that mountain. And he goes in and he possesses it. And it becomes his inheritance. We talk about mountaintop experiences. You can't really have a mountaintop experience unless at times you have valley experiences. But here is Caleb's mountaintop experience. Give me this mountain. And the Lord gave him the mountain. The Lord gave him what he had promised to give him 45 years earlier and what Caleb now comes and asks for. And it fills him with delight. It tells us here, Joshua blessed him. Caleb was a blessed man. A happy man. A delighted man. As he enters into the possession that was his. And Christ tells us in Luke chapter 11, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Elsewhere that phrase is, your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him. And the Lord brings his people in to enjoy their blessings. They become a happy people. Happy in the blessings of the Lord. There's a happiness in Christ that is ours already. But the more we go on to know him, isn't this what Paul is praying for in Philippians chapter 3? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. Paul has known so much of Christ. But as an old man, he's praying that he might know more. Let that be our burden and our prayer too. Give me this mountain. Let me know more of Christ. Let me know more of his grace. Let me know more of his sanctifying grace. Let me know more of his wisdom. Let me know more of what it is to walk with him in fellowship with him. Let me know more of what it is to serve him and to obey him and to love him, to love his saints. Let me know more of what it is to walk hand in hand with Christ. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. May that be the burden of our hearts today. And not just today, but in the days to come. May we enter more fully, individually, enter more fully into the blessings that are ours in Christ. And as a congregation, may we do the same. May the Lord graciously touch our hearts. Some here are not saved. And this thought of inheritance from Christ is something you can't understand. You're not a child of God. You're not in Christ. You're not saved. And all you have to look forward to is his judgment and his wrath. Therefore, I plead with you today to flee to Christ. For only Christ can save you. Only Christ can enrich your soul. Paul talks about the richness of his grace. May you come to partake of that. Know your sins forgiven. Know acceptance with God. And have peace with him in time and for eternity. Give me this mountain. May we claim our possessions, claim our inheritance in Christ. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray, Lord, today that thou wilt bless it to our souls. Lord, there are times we have been careless here. We have not sought thee as we ought to have. We have not sought thy blessings, Lord, as we should have. We pray today that we might be challenged as we consider this man. That, Lord, thou would enable us to come to thee, cry to thee that thou would take us further, take us on with yourself, that we might possess our possessions in Christ. Be with us, Lord, today. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. Remember those who are not saved. Have mercy upon them. Save them by thy grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.